Glad we serve that kind of God today. Take your Bibles for a moment. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 for just a moment. I really was striving and intending on getting back in the Gospel of Mark. And I think we've made it up to chapter 11 maybe. 11 or 12. And we've kind of been thinking on some things, getting started back into that. But maybe the Lord's got us just taking a break out of that a little while longer. And this, in fact, this morning I woke up with this passage on my heart and want to just give you a few things. It is so simple. It is hot off the press, fresh bread out the oven. And I've got just a few things wrote down that I want to give to you this morning. I trust it'll be an encouragement, maybe a shot in your arm, build your faith, and send you out of here this morning rejoicing in the Lord. Let's stand together if you're willing and able to do so. Matthew 15, just a few verses, three verses we'll preach from this morning. The Bible said in verse 29, Matthew 15, 29, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Notice what the Bible said, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. I want to preach to you for a moment on this thought this morning. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Give me just a moment to get us caught up to it. But I'm preaching on the phrase, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. I want to preach a thought to you this morning on what men find at the Master's feet. What men find at the Master's feet. You can be seated this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we need your help today. I pray, Lord, you'd send it in mighty power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, these are your words. Lord, this is, Lord, where you've directed us to this morning. And Lord, I pray this morning as folk have come in, they're weary, they're tired, they're wore out, even beyond the physical. Lord, they have things, Lord, that are going on in their life that only Jesus can help. And so I pray this morning that, Lord, you'd send the help that we need. And, Lord, I pray when we leave here in just a little while, Lord, it could be said that we've been in the presence of the Lord. We got a word from God and that our lives are sustained, Lord, in these days. And Lord, to be able to continue on in our Christian journey and all that you do for us, we'll bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We come to this text of Scripture, a few things I'll observe this morning by way of introduction. I see in verse 29 the Master's departure. The Bible said, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh on the Sea of Galilee. And in doing so, he finds himself going up into a mountain. He's going to sit down at I don't know what his intentions were, if he's looking for a reprieve. He has been rather busy. And in the Master's departure, we find that literally he had left the realm and region of Tyre and Sidon. And there in the previous verses, he had met that Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord and had a daughter who is grievously vexed with the devil. And she interceded on behalf of her daughter to Jesus. And you know the story and the interaction between that woman and Jesus and how that the Lord magnified this woman's faith and spoke the word of healing upon her daughter. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour of that interaction that that mother had with the Son of God. And now Jesus leaves that region. He leaves the place of that miracle. He leaves the only miracle we know that Jesus did in Tyre and Sidon was that one. And he had been there, we believe, from our study for several months and had done maybe some other things. But now he leaves that region and departs back again and comes near into Israel to this place of a mountain near the Sea of Galilee. And as he makes his way, this is not his first time there again. And the word begins to spread that Jesus is now back in Israel. Now having departed, having left, he left one woman in need. And now he's going to make his way into an area where there are going to be others who have needs in their life. I'm thankful this morning, giving consideration of that thought, that our Savior, our God this morning is interested, not just in meeting the needs of one here and there, but he's interested, my friend, in meeting the needs of all that will come to him. And so he's departed from Tyre and Sidon and makes his way into Israel. And now he sits down here in the mountain near the Sea of Galilee. Notice with me the multitudes in desperation. Word begins to spread. And in fact, as he makes his way into Israel there, there is one here or there that sees him walking. They join themselves to him. And word spreads, and one or two turns to a handful, and a handful begins to turn into dozens, and dozens now have turned into a multitude that is now following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt there is a excitement in the air. There is anticipation in the air. There begins to spread in the villages and in the hillsides as Jesus passes by among this crowd that is known as all. And now they, Jesus having come back near to his own, they now began to rise in desperation. And what can just get there to Jesus' feet? You'll find what you need. You'll find what only Jesus can do. You'll find deliverance. You'll find a place that'll be so significant in your life that you won't find at the Walmarts. You won't find in the ball stadiums. You won't find these things that you'll find at Jesus' feet. In any other worldly or earthly endeavor, these are things that only Jesus can do and can only be attained at Jesus' feet. I'm glad this morning I know what it is to get to the Master's feet. I think about the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5. And there the Bible said he had been often bound with fetters and chains, that he had, my friend, tried to be rehabbed out of his condition. And there as he was possessed with a legion of demons in his soul, how that the Lord brought about a great deliverance into his life and broke those chains, broke that bondage, and brought about a deliverance in his life that only Jesus could do. And when the crowd saw it, the Bible said they feared, they ran into town, and they began to speak about what Jesus did. Well, in all the excitement and the commotion of that, the Bible said that the town came back out in the countryside. They had to see it for themselves. And when they got there, you remember what the Bible said they found? That man they had known as a demon-possessed man, that man they had called a nuisance to society, that man that they had give up on and just carried out into the graveyard and said, "You stay here. We don't want to see you in town anymore." And when they came back out after Jesus had got done with it, the Bible said they found him in his right mind. He no longer was naked. He had clothes on. And then Mark said when they saw him, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. And so that man found some things at Jesus' feet. Hey man, and so many others throughout the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, there are things that men and women and young people have found at the Master's feet. Again, that you can't find anywhere else. Ain't you glad you know something about that? If you've ever been saved, the fact you got saved, you found salvation. You didn't find it in some booth somewhere. Hey man, talking to a pope on the other side of the wall. And you didn't find salvation in a baptismal pool. and you didn't find it in communion, eating a wafer and drinking out of a cup. You didn't find it in some place of reformation. Why, if you've ever been saved, you understand this, that you found that at the Master's feet, that place where there is grace and there is mercy and there's deliverance and there's redemption and there's justification and there is the matters of eternal life that men can only find at the Master's feet. I didn't find my salvation at my daddy's feet. I didn't find my salvation at some preacher's feet. I found it at the feet of my Master. And so that's where it all begins. And if you've ever been saved, you know something about that. But notice with me several real quickly this morning, some practical applications by way of observation in this text. Things that we can find as mankind at the Master's feet. Number one this morning, I guess this will be the thrust of what I want to preach. But I want to say number one, they found a place at the Master's feet. They found a place to cast their burdens. In the text this morning, there are multitudes and throngs of people, as we've already said, that are in a place of desperation. They have needs. They have things going on in their lives. They have burdens that they carry for others that they love. They have sons and daughters that are blind. They have grandchildren that have been lame. They have friends and close acquaintances that have experienced all sorts of ailments and things that can be made none the better. And yet when Jesus came by where they were and sat down, the Bible said there was a stirring in their hearts as a multitude to bring these that represented their burden. And I love the language and how the King James Bible describes what these people did with their burdens. Did you catch it? The Bible said they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And I remind you this morning, a man at Jesus' feet, there is found a place to cast your burden. The word and the phrase cast them down, it simply means to fling. To fling or to deliberately hurl. This is no accident. They did not stumble themselves to the Master's feet. They did not trip over themselves to get to the Master's feet. But rather there is a deliberation. There is intentionality that is associated in this phrase of casting down the lame and the blind and the dumb and the maimed and the very many others that are represented in that multitude. Simply put, this implies this casting them down. It implies throwing something not only deliberately but repeatedly. And so one by one they cast their burden down at Jesus' feet. One by one they laid them down. One by one they hurled them. They took them and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And I remind you this morning that at the feet of our Savior, there is still found a place to cast our burden. The Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I said the young folk this morning, as we've been teaching them about God and what the Bible reveals about God. The Bible teaches you and I that God is a God that cares. A man David said of his own self in a situation of his life, he said, I looked on my right hand and no man would know me. He said, I looked on my left hand and no man was there. And he made this statement, and what a sad commentary. Whether it's true or not, it's how he felt. David said, no man cared for my soul. And I'm glad this morning that at the New Testament, Peter said in 1 Peter 5, He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. I'm glad this morning that there is a place that you and I can cast our burdens upon the Lord. Amen. At Jesus' feet, a place to cast our burden. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what you're bogged down with. I don't know what, my friend, has got you weighed down in your soul and in your heart. I don't know what keeps you up at night. And I don't know what brings tears to your eyes when it passes your mind. But we all have something tonight. And we all have something this morning that burdens us and weighs us down. I just want to come by and tell you this morning, amen, that men can find in the Master's feet a place for every one of those burdens. It wasn't just for the blind. It wasn't just for the lame. It wasn't just for the dumb. It wasn't just for the maimed. But the implication is, no matter what their need was, no matter how great the burden was, no matter how long the burden had been there, no matter how hopeless they felt, amen, at the Master's feet, men find a place to care, amen, a place to carry their burden. Amen, ain't you glad for the opportunity we have this morning? And when men don't understand and men don't know and men can't do a thing about where we are, and there's a God in glory, there's a Savior who says you can bring every burden you've ever had. You can bring every weight that weighs you down, everything that causes you to trip and stumble. Jesus invites you and I today, amen, place your cares, amen, down His burdens at my feet. When me and my friend seem disinterested, and when others, my friend, don't have the time, and when men, though their intentions be well, just seem to fall short, amen, when you don't feel like you can express it to anybody, child of God, I'm telling you, at the Master's feet, there is a place you can find to cast your burden. And so cast it, and you say, preacher, I've already done it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They didn't just, amen, cast one. The Bible said, amen, casting them down, they cast them down at Jesus' feet, one by one by one. Amen, they took their burden and cast it down at Jesus' feet. It was a repeated act. It was not a one-time act. Jesus didn't just have time and energy for one burden. He could take on all the burdens over and over and over again. And I'm telling you today that you have a Savior that invites you to come and bring your burdens to Him and cast them down at His feet. And though you've done it 1,000 times, do it 1,000 more, because your God in glory cares about you, and He's able this morning to provide you a place that you can bring your burdens. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that, amen, I have found in my 28 years nearly now, in just a few days of being saved, that in this Christian life, when I couldn't bring my burdens, amen, to somebody else, when I, amen, was overwhelmed with the weight of my own burden, I have found that there is a place, amen, there's a place, my friend, that's out of this world. There's a place that is so eternal and spiritual, in which, my friend, there are no burdens in that land. And so throw them upon Him. You hurl your burdens upon the Lord and get intentional about letting Him sustain you as you bring Him your burdens and your cares, that your God is able this morning to do that. Is something that men can find at the Master's feet. And so what men find in the Master's feet, they find, amen, they found in the tanks a place to cast their burden. Amen, child of God, you can find the same, and you can have the same, and you can enjoy the same. There's no need for you. I understand this morning the burdens we carry and how heavy they can be and how they weigh us down. I'm not diminishing what you carry today. I dare say I've got burdens you know nothing about, and you have some I know nothing about. But I'm glad to report to us today that our God has provided a place for every one of those burdens. Who say, preacher, my burden revolves around my children. I'm glad to tell you there's a place you can carry that. Who say, preacher, my burden revolves around my marriage. I'm glad to tell you today that there's a place that you can bring that burden. Well, preacher, my burden is something about my health and some doctor's report that I've received. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, the text teaches you and I that there's a place and we can cast those burdens upon the Lord. There's nothing too big and there's nothing too small. Amen. To be brought to this place that is known as the Master's feet. And so whatever your burden today, understand that the Master's feet, you find a place to cast your burden. Number two this morning, consider with me that in the text they found a place to cast their burdens. Notice with me, they found a person to cure their need. They found a person. You say, who is that? Well, it's the one. Amen. It's the one to whom them feet are attached to. Amen. It's none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And so they not only found a place to cast their burden, and sometimes we feel that's all we're doing, that we're casting. We casted it yesterday, and we had to cast the same burden again today. And that's all right. That's part of the Christian life. Amen. To repeatedly and deliberately cast our burden upon the Lord. Let me remind you of something this morning. That the one they brought the blind and the lame and the dumb and the deaf had, and the maimed too, and all the other needs that would have been represented in the statement of many others, that my friend Jesus had the ability to cure every need that was exhibited that day. Amen. He was able, and our God is able. And we find at the Master's feet that, my friend, we are at the feet of the one who says, there's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing impossible with me. I'm thankful today that I know the one that, at the feet of the one that I come to, there is one there that my friend has proven time and time and time again. And as I cast my burden upon him, it may not be in the very hour that I cast it. It may not be in the very day or even the very week. And some burdens I've been carrying a long, long time now. But as I cast them in his feet, he has proven to me already enough. And he's more than enough. He's the one that can cure every need that I have in my life. Here's what the Bible simply said, and he healed them. That is, my friend, the blindness was nothing unto him when he got good and ready and intended to heal it. He could restore sight. Oh, yes, amen. He alone could fix their issues. And he put it this way in the text. Amen. The lame got their stability. And the blind got their sight. And the dumb got their speech. And the maimed got their strength. And no doubt all others on that day had their need met on that day at the feet of Jesus by the precious Son of God. And this morning there is a God in heaven that has provided us, amen, a place at his feet. And we can find the God that can do anything. Amen, can do anything. What do you need him to do today? I'm not promising you. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you he'll do it today. But what I'm telling you is he can do it. Amen, and maybe you got to wait a little while. And maybe you got to cast on your burdens a little while longer. And if he ever moves in your situation, there's nothing that God cannot do for us. He healed them. Amen. He healed them. Ain't you thankful for all the times
at God. My friend, you cast your burdens upon the Lord and you got at Jesus' feet, and there you had them all laid out to Him and was telling Him, amen, about all the things that was going on in your family and in your life and in your children and on your job and in your body and in your health and in your life and in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. And then, my friend, all of a sudden, somewhere, the Lord brought a great deliverance in your life, and you found in the feet of the Master a person that can cure every need that we have. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I've been waiting a long time, and I'm getting mad. Ain't no sense in getting mad about it. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to get mad about it. Amen. Brother Stacy Piercy said in recent days, I'm a preacher who's gone through a lot of different types of suffering. Amen. He said, Lord, if my suffering brings glory to you, then I'll gladly suffer. And all that's God's business. Amen. But we do know this, that whatever we're suffering, whatever we're bearing, whatever need is manifest in our life, that our God is able to cure that. Has that dawned on you? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit living in despair and take yourself to the Master's feet and be reminded that He's still on the throne. I love the imagery that is painted here in verse number 29, that He went up to the mountain. And what did He do? He sat down, Brother Carl, He sat down. He was in a high place, seated. Amen. As the Lord that He is, amen, sitting down. He is sitting down as though there is no labor involved on His end at all. And I remind you tonight, our God's still on the throne. And He's in that high mountain, in that high place called heaven. Amen. In fact, David said He sits in His holy hill. Amen. In a holy city. And Isaiah saw Him sitting on a throne. I'm telling you this morning, our God, amen, He ain't in a rocking chair worried about how He's going to get us the help that we need. He's not, my friend, biting His fingernails and pulling His hair out. My friend, He's not pacing the floor and worried one whit about how in the world He's going to get you and have the help that He needs. Can I remind you today, and if you can just somehow get to the Master's feet, here's what you'll find. He's still on the throne. And He ain't worried one little bit. Hey man, what's got you upset has Him not afraid, affrighted at all. Then He says, though, hey man, He was in the boat in the hinder part with the disciples in the storm. He's sleeping while they're rowing. He's resting while they're afraid and while they feel like they're sinking and water is in the boat, yet they're not sinking. The Lord is not wearied one bit with what was going on in their life. Amen. And if you and I could ever, I hope this is making sense. I can't tell if it is or not, but I'm just going to preach it anyway. If you can somehow get to the Master's feet, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that your God is absolutely able. Whether He does or not, you can still say He is the one that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above everything I ask or think. That's our God. And this generation of American Christianity is losing sight of that. Amen. We sing like He's a big God. And we preach as He's a big God. And sometimes, amen, we're tapped in the truth and we even portray that. And in our hours of our greatest need, it's as though we forget the very thing we need to be reminded of the most in that hour. And that is that our God just sits and He reigns and He's not weary and He's not worried and He's not weakened in any way because of what you're going through. And at His feet, you'll find an image of a God and the representation of a God that can absolutely cure every need that you have. And if you do find the help you need, if you do find the cure for your need, I promise you it'll come from God. Amen, amen. It won't come because you bailed water out of the boat so good. Amen, it'll come because there's a God in glory who has absolutely promised us that if we would just somehow get to his faith, it's there he healed them. It's there when they got desperate enough and when they got, my friend, where they just kept on casting repeatedly, eventually the Lord came through for them. Amen, and he healed them. He healed them. He cured their need. He met their need. He done for them what they couldn't do for themselves. He done for them what others could not do. And that's what every child of God finds at the Master's feet. Amen. They found a place to cast their burdens. And they found a person to cure their need. Number three, and I'm done, they found a passion to celebrate their God. Here's what the Bible said, in so much that the multitude wondered when they saw. There's some things they saw that sparked wonderment and amazement in their life. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. What did the Bible say? The Bible said there at the Master's feet, they glorified the God of Israel. There was a passion, an excitement, amen, that stirred in their heart. Amen. And when they were at the Master's feet, having cast their burden there, having met the one who can meet their need, it stirred in them an excitement and a passion, a glorify, to celebrate, a worship, and to praise their God. Amen. I told them down there, Sister Candy said it's Ottawa. Ottawa is where I preached Friday night for Brother Jones. God. We're living in days, Brother Maurice, the church is losing her passion to celebrate God. We get excited over politics. Some of us have spent more time consumed with that than we have just getting at the Master's feet. Amen, that stuff make you pull your hair out. And some of us get more excited. Football season starting. I know I'm sucking my thumb. My team got their tail stomped yesterday. Amen. Amen. So I'm sucking my thumb, and y'all's team beat a little JV team. Amen. 10,000 to nothing. All right? It's ball season. And you got a lot to be excited for. I almost said Roll Tide. I meant Rocky Top. Amen. You get excited, and there's nothing wrong with having some joys in those things. Here's some of these cats say, oh, sports, and they talk about sports. You can't understand some of the New Testament without understanding sports and camaraderie. Paul talked about running. That's a sport. Boxing, that's a sport. Wrestling, that's a sport. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with sports unless that's what drives your passion in life. We get so passionate about all those things. In this text, they got their passion to celebrate God back in their life because they spent time at the Master's feet. Could it be the reason our churches are so dry in worship and praise? And I'm talking about how it was in old time days. It's because we've not found what we can only find at the Master's feet. We want a preacher. I'm just preaching now. You just deal with it. However, we want a preacher to excite us. We want a man of God to stir us up. And thank God for men that can do that. I don't claim to be real good about that. Amen. Other than to tell you what the Bible said. And I tell you, there's something greater than just getting stirred by a preacher. Amen. If you'll spend you some time at the Master's feet this afternoon, you'll come in tonight ready passionately to celebrate God and the things he's done in your life and the things you've seen him do for others. I'm sure there's some in this multitude that maybe they didn't have any needs in their life, and yet they came to the feet of the Master. They're there with the Lord, and they watch what he's doing for others. And when God does something for others, others, they themselves say, I want to glorify God with you. Amen. When's the last time you just cut loose and glorified God? Amen. When's the last time you got a passion in your heart to celebrate your God? And this morning I'm telling you the only way, amen, the only way you're going to be tapped into that, at that level, that depth of Christianity this morning, amen, it's not just in coming to church, and it's not just in holding the King James Bible in your hand, but my friend, it'll be found in you spending time in the presence of your Lord and your Savior, amen, and finding that at the Master's feet. This morning, do you want your joy back? You want your worship back? You want to praise God again? I said, preacher, where do I find that? You'll find it at the Master's feet. Amen. Sister Candy's coming the piano. What men find at the Master's feet. This morning, whatever you need, you can find it in Jesus today. Would you cast your burden upon the Lord? Would you cast all your care upon the Lord today, believing? Listen, Peter said he cares for you. Matthew 15, 29, 30, and 31, Brother Mark, they prove what Peter said. Sister Heather, there wasn't one the Lord said, no, get out of here. If they was willing to come to him and cast their burden down, he was, listen, he had the ability to meet their need. And whatever he would do, whatever he would decide to do, stirred their heart to glorify God. This morning, I'm telling you, we need more of God's people who'll find themselves at the Master's feet, bringing their burdens and letting God work in their life. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your grace and goodness. Lord, I'm preaching to those this morning that have cares, they have burdens. Lord, they have troubles. Lord, this week their eyes and cheeks have been wet with tears that are connected to pain and hardships and issues that, Lord, mortal men cannot carry themselves. I'm asking you this morning, would you please help each of us today find our way to the Master's feet. There, Lord, learn what it truly is to cast down our burdens there. Lord, I'm glad you'd give us a place. Lord, not one child of God has to walk out of here today carrying their burdens alone. Lord, you can lighten their load, and you've given us all a place to be able to do that. Help us to see you sitting upon the throne on high, being the Lord of all, the God that can do anything. Then, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, truth be told, there's a lot of us. Lord, this ain't about everybody else, Lord, myself included. And, Lord, need to go to another level, another realm, Lord, of being excited all over again and just celebrate and glorify and worship and praise our God. Help us, Lord, to understand. We won't find that, Lord, on the internet or on the Googles or the YouTubes. Lord, we're only going to find that spending time at your feet. Help us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name.